I don't think we
Blog
have
Talk Radio.
We could save the sitting in on the podcast one. Maybe we could lower that.
But yeah, because like, what does that even mean right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like a Zoom hangout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we
that's
about
another
it.
Thing we during the week we could sort of.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to throw it out there so it's been said.
Let me just post.
I don't want to sacrifice.
But so you're going to be gone for a month, but you're still going to be doing the show just on?
Yeah.
From wherever you are. Okay.
Yeah, I'll bring my mic and my laptop. So I don't know how we could say. We might not be able to take calls. Otherwise, it'll be the same. Oh, do you want to call Block Talk? Make sure.
Say stuff.
Hello.
Pass.
Hi.
1, 2.
All good.
Oh, she's ready for the show.
Anytime she sees me using the phone, it's up. It's weird.
People on the YouTube. Nice. Let's go live. Oh, shit.
Are we being seen now? Hello. Hello, everybody.
No, we're not being seen.
Okay.
I just need to upload the bland.
This is your
announce. All right, everyone ready?
Yeah.
Yup.
All right, I'm going to mute.
Go!
This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IP livecast. I'm none too pleased about this move to Saturday afternoon. I have been having regular brunches with Jeff Blandington to complain about you guys, and now we have to reschedule. You owe me a Bloody Mary. Our IP live cast starts now.
Thank you, Shannon. And welcome to RIP live cast. It's Rob here with Sid.
Hello.
And Darren.
Hi.
And that's right. We have a new day and time. We're going to be live Saturdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So your morning drive, your weekend morning drive on the West Coast. But yeah, we're very excited about this time shift now that our schedules have freed up on the weekends. And I think it'll be more fun. I mean, otherwise, it'll be basically the same. There's no real change. And of course, I do want to remind everyone that if you don't listen live, that now we are making the video versions of the podcast free. You can access them on our new Twitch channel, RIP Livecast, as well as on our Facebook page and our YouTube page, also RIP Livecast. Give them a little search. And yeah, it's very exciting. I feel very technological.
Yes.
When
joining
a platform. Technological.
Oh, right. I was going to say that joining a platform that's been around for like 8 years, it doesn't exactly make us technological.
We're just on,
I mean,
top. We're
on
the cusp. We're on the cusp. We're on,
right,
the bleeding edge of technology.
For like two 40-year-olds and a near 50-year-old, we're pretty technological, I would say.
I'm not a 40-year-old. I'm 38. I still have 2 years. How dare you?
Rounding
I don't
up,
believe
please.
That.
Oh,
join us next week when we launch our Zanga page.
Rob is very young for a redwood tree. Gigantic.
I do
tree.
Like this. My video just makes my Facebook extra red today. 213 Wide Nut is our phone number. 213-943-3688. Hang out with us. And the big story of the week, let's just dive into it, guys. Let's dive into it. Big story of the week in the music world, in the greater music world, is Neil Young took a stand. And I guess
he stands.
That was my next question.
Bless his heart.
He took a figurative stand, but he told Spotify, the music streaming service, that he is not a fan of the, you know, quote unquote misinformation that Joe Rogan spews from his podcast, which is exclusively hosted on Spotify. And he basically gave Spotify an ultimatum. I don't really know if it was an ultimatum or it was more just like, hey, if you're going to keep the, I guess technically it is an ultimatum. If you're going to keep Joe Rogan on your service, I don't want my music on the service.
Right. But it wasn't, it didn't come off to me as a, like an attempt to force Spotify to do anything. It was just like, look, I don't want to be on the same platform. So
yeah, that's why I'm saying it wasn't necessarily an ultimatum. He was just saying, hey, if you're hosting this, I don't want my I don't want you profiting off of my music and providing a platform for what he assumes is disinformation.
Right.
And sorry, one sec. And Spotify were like, all right, peace out, bro.
Yeah.
And so they removed all of his. They removed all of his.
All of his 57-year-old songs are gone now.
And also Joni Mitchell now is like, take my shit off. And now I guess there's a...
it smells much less like patchouli oil in Spotify now.
Ben Gay. And I guess now there's a movement of fans to cancel their Spotify premiums and all that. Here's my thing. I think Neil Young is within his right. Like, it's his music. It's his copyrighted material. He can decide where his music is played. And also, you know, to give a little context, Neil Young, being the age that he is, he actually went through polio as a kid. He had polio as a child in the 50s before the vaccine was available. So he's like,
what? Hold on. Yeah. Time out. Wasn't the vaccine available in the 30s? Like, the first wave of the vaccine was in the 30s, I thought. Am I just wrong on that?
I've been reading all week that he had polio before the vaccine.
I believe that part of it. I'm just saying he was Joe Rogan. Like he just did the 1939 ivermectin.
Also, he has, so according to this Twitter thread, which as we all know, Twitter threads are the most trusted sources of information. He also had epilepsy, and Jesus, so his daughter and his daughter also has epilepsy, and two of his sons have cerebral palsy.
I mean, I'm not making fun of Neil Young, but that he kind of sounds like he has epilepsy when he sings, doesn't he?
I could sort of see it.
I'm so he's glad he survived.
He's pretty big on vaccine knowledge, so I mean, he's very, very pro-vaccine. So I could see why he would be bothered by this, but like my whole thing, like if I'm Spotify, of course I'm going to side with Joe Rogan, and then not necessarily because he makes them lots of money because he has the most listened to podcast in the world.
Other than
it just sets a bad precedent. Yes, of course. It just sets a bad precedent because they're like, oh,
freedom of speech issue.
Yeah, exactly. And then like, you know, no. If they cater to what Neil Young wants next week, who knows?
Next week, Joni Mitchell might. Oh, wait, we have another. Hold on.
What if Lady Gaga comes out and says, if you have Madonna on your service, I'm not going to be on there. You know, like they said, all right, then bye. So it's a very, very interesting topic. And I'm not saying this as someone who's defending Joe Rogan. Like this is, I am agnostic on Joe Rogan, you know, like,
right.
I feel like I don't listen. I've listened to a few episodes when it's a guest that I am particularly fond of. Like, for example, he had a really good interview with James Hetfield, and James Hetfield isn't the type of guy that typically opens up too much. So it was interesting to kind of like get to know him with, and like, you know, he was in a comfortable space with a fellow bro. And also I really liked the Bernie Sanders episode.
that he did with Joe Rogan, because it felt like Bernie was talking to an audience that he might not necessarily reach. But
and it swung the election in his favor, so that was very helpful.
And it absolutely changed the election, yeah.
Can I play a little clip from that James Hetfield interview?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it was...
Wow, that was very insightful. He did open up a little bit. I don't expect that.
And I guess
about the Nerners.
Okay, I had a follow-up on that. There was a follow-up on that. Hold on, here it is. Oh, thank you, James. I agree with you about being agnostic about Joe Rogan, but with one asterisk, I would say, is that I think the reaction to Joe Rogan is just – like really hyper exaggerated, as if he's like starting the Fourth Reich or something. Like I think he's a dumb guy who is like sort of sees himself as a speech facilitator, and like anyone.
I would say he's a dumb guy. I would say he's not as smart as he thinks he is.
He's a meathead. We would say he's a classical.
He's a well-spoken meathead.
Yes, and he's funny. He's a funny guy. He did funny stand-up. I think his stand-up was pretty funny. I mean, he's not helping.
We're going to disagree on that one.
He's not like falling over, busting a gut funny, but I mean, like he knows how to entertain an audience, I would say.
Well, Rock Hudson is in our chat.
Oh, my goodness.
He says Rob is a big Fear Factor fan.
I'm a big Rock Hudson fan.
What's so funny is Fear Factor and The Apprentice were both greenlit in the same year by Jeff Zucker. And, like, if he only knew the kind of influence he would have on society 20 years later because
conspiracy
of greenlighting those two shows. But anyway.
I just want to finish my thought here.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, eating 100-year-old eggs basically spawned a Trump presidency.
Well, no. I feel it gave Joe Rogan a mainstream audience.
Yeah.
I think UFC is what did that for him.
No. Well, how did he
get
on
UFC?
Out
of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. Well, right, no. He got – here's how it went. He did Fear Factor – then from that, he got enough of a name that he got a show on the Opie and Anthony Sirius XM channel. And through that, because he would have MMA fighters on his show, that's how he got that.
But wait, we're forgetting Dave Foley of Kids in the Hall gave him a start on news radio.
That's right. Yeah, it's all Dave Foley.
That's and Phil, let's fucking murder Phil Hartman for this. Oh, wait.
His wife.
Oh, wait. Here Goes Nothing mentions that he was a UFC interviewer in the 90s, way before Fear Factor. So maybe I'm off here.
Yeah, Rob.
He was just a big fan.
No, I didn't know.
So I guess he was a big fan with enough of a name that they were like, sure, come hang out with us.
You know, I didn't want to finish my thought there.
Okay. Sorry, Darren. Go ahead.
Okay. That I think, you know, he like I said, he's a dumb guy, whatever in quotes, whatever you want to get out of that. But he portrays a dumb guy for sure. But he's like a idea facilitator. Like he's the kind of guy that would be like, whatever you believe, even if it's like reprehensible or nefarious, like you come on my show and talk about it, and if it sucks, I'll call you out on it. And like, so like,
yeah,
it's like,
it's
how
quite
you get,
literally a safe space.
Yes. And that's how you get Bernie Sanders, and also Milo is on, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I don't necessarily agree with having those people on, but I don't think there's like greater harm to society to having some like right-wing dipshit talk on a show. You know what I mean? I don't live in constant fear of that.
I agree with you on that. And I think the other thing, too, is, like, this. It's so weird to like, people just want to censor him. You know, I feel that's going to – it's just going to make it – it's going to make his fans want to seek it out more and make it feel like there's a conspiracy against him. And then, in a way, it kind of validates these quacks that he has on. Because, again, I'm not speaking from direct experience. Because
you've never been censored?
I haven't said no, but I mean, I don't listen to his show, so I don't necessarily know the depth of it, but I do, you know, he has a lot of people who are preaching science that the mainstream science community is not necessarily fond of. And I could see how people think that's burdensome, but the issue is if people are trusting him and not the government, the answer is not to censor him. It's to question. Is to ask why is society seeking out these alternate media sources and not trusting the government? Like, how, you know what I mean? Like, they're pointing the blame in the wrong direction here.
Why is the host of MMA matches the go-to source for information? Like, what is missing in the other sources that are supposed to be verifiable and trusted? That's a valid question.
What do you think?
Makes people eat 100-year-old squid, you know, should not be.
Does he do that? Did Bernie have to do that?
What was so funny, though? Sorry, go ahead.
I will tap out. I'm not going to. I will take the $10,000. Do not want to put this ancient jelly into my system. It may not be good for my my gastroenteritis.
And then he'll have like Jordan Peterson on. It's like,
I can't do his voice. I can't get squirrely enough to do Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
I can't believe people take him serious. Like,
that's a good impression, Rob, actually, what you just did.
That's just my voice.
You should learn to clean your room. Clean your room. That's all I have to say. Oh, also, bad things about women. And clean your room, please. That's good. Good clean your room. Good.
Anytime, so, like, I've talked to a handful, I will say. I won't say a lot. I will say a handful of metalheads, of metal musicians, I should say, who I had a sense of respect for. And then they're like, I'm not going to name the artist.
You said there were many. You just give us one.
Okay. Whatever. I'll mention it. Isan from Emperor.
Uh-huh.
Who's looked at as like a smart guy, a cultured guy, from Norway. And I was listening to an interview with him. Well, he's from, you know, the black metal. Is he from Norway?
Is that your, like, the sum total of why you think he's cultured, that he's lives in Norway?
Yeah.
Or is there something?
Yeah, he's from Norway. No, because he's like, he wears glasses. He looks smart. But
Norway, glasses. Got it. All right.
But
I'm going to
come
back,
like,
next week with the glasses and a blonde wig to make everyone think
hold on.
I'm a genius.
But then, like, in the middle of an interview, he just drops, like, and you know, as Jordan Peterson said.
Oh.
And I'm like, whoa! Like, no. And then, like, just in and another person who I will not mention, far less. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned him anyway. But anyway,
okay.
I was at a dinner at, like, a function, and we were just talking. And he also brought up Jordan Peterson and the fallacy, in his opinion, of privilege, you know, and like how privilege doesn't exist. And I shut that down quick.
Well, the thing about Jordan Peterson, like, his big talent is getting, like, objectionable, repulsive ideas to sound sort of reasonable coming from a semi-quasi-academic guy. So I think he has appeal, you know.
Agreed. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. He, like, anything I've heard of his sounds like bullshit. And the thing that invalidates him to me completely is, I don't know if you guys follow, but a few months ago he was doing an all meat diet. And it might have been raw meat. I'm not sure. I think it's just all meat.
Jesus.
Not necessarily raw.
What does his bathroom smell like?
And what's so funny is, like,
meat diet is also Rob's OnlyFans.
He ended up in the hospital because of it.
I eat one fucking beef chalupa, and I'm in there for like 8.5 hours.
Right?
Fuck out of here.
Well, that's the problem. It's because you're eating the veggies, you're eating the bread, you're eating the fried dough.
Should have listened to Jordan, Dr. Jordan.
The all meat diet does some people. I don't know. You guys know who Rob? You know who Al Michaels is? Obviously,
yeah.
Darren.
Yeah, sure.
He claims, and this man is like pushing 80, he claims never in his life have eaten a vegetable.
Oh.
To the point that if he orders a steak at a steakhouse and it comes side of vegetables, send it back.
Oh.
He will send it back because the juices from the vegetables might have leaked over to his steak. And it works for him.
I thought you were good. I was joking. I was going to say he takes the waiter's face and just rubs it in the fucking mashed potatoes. Basically one step below that.
Yeah.
What do you think that booth smells like? Poor Chris Collinsworth. Ooh. He's just like, you know, we've been talking about it all night, Al. You know, Darren McFadden touches the ball, and, you know, we've been calling his name, and what the fuck came out of you? Holy shit, Al. We need to go to break. Somebody call him. Al Michaels is a decaying Slim Jim.
Yeah.
So if we could reel the conversation back.
Sorry. Sorry, from Al Michaels sphincter. Yeah, we should reel it back from here.
to the Joe Rogan drama. Obviously, other musicians are, giving their two cents on the topic. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with David Draymond.
Oh, no.
Well, but not everyone's wrong all the time.
Yeah. So David Draymond tweeted, "I applaud you and Spotify for making the right call, preserving hashtag free speech and not capitulating to the mob. I may not agree with everything Joe Rogan or his guests say, but they are entitled to have the forum to say it."
I agree. I think it's more of Spotify like wanting to make more money. I don't know that it's necessarily to care about free speech.
Well, like exactly.
If it was like a literal Nazi, they might pull them off. You know what I mean? It's not like they're so concerned with anti-censorship. It's just, if someone as big as Joe Rogan, I mean, he has the number one show, right? But if they're theoretically someone as big as Joe Rogan, or had he was number two and someone else was number one and they threatened to walk, that might push them into doing something, wouldn't you say?
I would think it was, like I said, it would set a bad precedent. If anyone offers them an ultimatum, you can't give into the ultimatum. Otherwise, it'll lead to more problems down the road.
They might.
Dusty Rose Muffler
it,
in the chat says, "All Meat Diet is Rob's favorite DVD." he also asks, "Is the live cast going to remove the podcast from Spotify?" No, we don't believe in this. That we don't think we're on. On the side, it's hard to say that I'm on the side of
Joe Rogan.
We don't
want to self-censor?
Yeah, but I don't believe in the censor. I don't think it's going to do anything. I understand why the artists are doing it. They're within their right.
Mm-hmm.
No hate. I don't think it'll, change anything. You know, if you're a principled person, sure, go for it.
By the way, I just want to say I'm happy we coincidentally happened to agree, because no one asked me if I want to remove them. Rob just announced that we're not removing it.
Yeah,
it's a good thing we're on the same side of this issue.
I figured we would all be on the same side.
It's one of those benevolent dictatorships.
No, it's one of those roll the dice dictatorships. Oh, we're doing this. You agree, right? Yeah. Oh, in this case, yes. Okay, cool.
Rob with two B's points out it's not free speech. Nobody is entitled to a platform. That's
right.
True. The only entity that cannot censor your speech legally is the government, the U.S. government.
And they can too, but I mean, they're restricted in their ability to do so.
Yeah.
Right. So
my
with
issue,
Spotify,
ahead, sorry,
it's just a money issue. Yeah. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say that, I think we discussed this a little bit a few years ago when Alex Jones was being pulled from everything. And I feel like Joe Rogan is not on the level of Alex Jones. Let's just say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
But I think people are reluctant to criticize this when it's Alex Jones because he's such a stupid shithead. But I think it's just bad to defend corporations' rights to pull people off the air when they. And this is not what happened with Joe Rogan, but I'm just saying the fact that the defense that people use for that is this is just it's a corporate decision. They have a right to put whoever they want on their platform, and I don't think that's good when these companies, especially Twitter and YouTube, have reached these epic proportions where they talk to 2-3 billion people in the world. Any information in the world has to flow through them. They're essentially a public utility. I don't believe that they should have universal rights to sit in a fucking boardroom somewhere completely without transparency and say this guy shouldn't be on, this person shouldn't be on, this one should have a prominent platform. You know what I mean? I feel like they're sort of skirting the issue, and that always blows back on leftists and dissidents. That's never going to stay with just Trump or Alex Jones.
Right. So to kind of elaborate on your point, while you're this person is so bad and giving misinformation and he's on the wrong side of the thing, the pendulum could swing back the other way, where on the other end of it, this person's views are too extreme and like they're affecting the status quo, be on either end. I agree with you. I do think that at this point, services like Facebook and Twitter are a public utility. And I mean, if that's the case, then they should be regulated by the government. There should be a transparent regulation thing, but that's not going to happen, obviously. There's way too much corporate lobbying involved for that. But I'm on the fence too, because in the greater theory, I agree with you, Darren, that you can't pick and choose who to censor. But then I do feel like Alex Jones specifically was dangerous. And, like, he has been properly deplatformed to the point where, like, his soapbox isn't as big anymore, and it doesn't have quite the effect that it did, like, 3 or 4 years ago. And I think that's a good thing in his specific case. So I'm very conflicted on it, because I agree with you in principle, but with, like, Jones in particular, I think it was a good thing that someone like him was deplatformed, or like Richard Spencer, there has to be a limit.
Well, not to make this into debate with you, Rob, because I have to take issue with that point, because there's two things. I don't think the threat that Alex Jones poses is as great as it's exaggerated to be. I think he's a dumb guy with shitty ideas. And I think people are like, it's like we said with the Joe Rogan thing. If they're getting their information from Alex Jones, that's a failure of the information networks that exist in the world. And it's like, if you want to start pulling people for saying like Sandy Hook was a hoax or whatever, what about the Iraq War? What about, you know, like the CDC giving like 97 different contradictory guidelines because bureaucrats run the health departments and not doctors, you know what I mean? How much misinformation, like official misinformation, are we going to allow? And then just start picking and choosing, like, which of the people saying something contrary to that are wrong and should go away. Like, I don't agree that you should just yank people off the air just because they're shitty. I think we should be like focusing more on like why are we allowing shitty people to be prominent? Like, what's the failure there? And address that.
Well, I think it was just like an immediate solution to a big problem, like you said, with the Sandy Hook thing. Like, innocent families who lost their children were getting, like, death threats from his minions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not cool. But I hear what you're saying. That same thought could be applied with, you know, people who are against...
But there are specific laws to deal with that. Like, if Alex Jones is... causing that, and you could demonstrably prove that he's inciting people to threaten innocent families,
which, by the way, it has been proven.
Okay, go through those channels and get him fucking thrown in jail. Like, that's
right, but that's
where
3 years later, that means for the 3 years, in those 3 years, those parents are still dealing with those threats.
How's it 3 years
later?
And also,
he's not even just paid a fine and nothing in that decision deplatformed him.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't stop him. He just had to pay money to those families, right? He didn't go to jail.
Yeah,
right.
No. So isn't it much better to go actually prosecute him for inciting violence under the law? Wouldn't that be criminal action be better than he just does his show on a different channel?
But hold on. So let's take that.
I don't see why you can't do both.
Yeah, if there's criminal action against him, so then he should go to jail. Like, if it's proven, he should go to jail. Like,
yes. What do those laws exist for, if not for that? I'd rather he go to jail than just do his show with a smaller audience. Like, I don't think that's addressing the problem. I don't think that's addressing what you consider to be this like incredible problem with Alex Jones. You know,
but
I think
also
a lot of people.
Wasn't Varg able to do Burzum album? Alex Jones would probably still be able to do his show from jail somehow.
Fine with me.
It doesn't really stop it.
Go ahead, sorry.
We could table this, I think.
Darren, in the Discord, Fart Sniffer wants to know what your mug says.
What my what? Sorry.
What your coffee mug says.
Oh, let me hold it up to the camera. It says, "Thank you for leaving me alone." Not literally. Don't leave me alone to just die a lonely death. That would be
depressing.
Don't bother me.
So David Draymond wasn't the only one to chime in.
Oh, I forgot we were talking about that idiot.
Right. Just to go back to the Joe Rogan thing.
You know, talking about him right after Alex Jones makes David Draymond almost seem like a reasonable person. Deconstruct that, please.
Let's deplatform David also while we're at it.
Can we put him on a platform and then pull the platform away, like a literal platform, so that he falls and injures himself?
No.
David Draymond dunk tank.
Before I continue with the story, I do want to mention Slipknot, one of the most thrilling and visceral musical collectives on the planet, are back with their 2022 iteration of their infamous Knotfest Roadshow Tour. The tour will take place over two legs, both headlined by Slipknot. The first leg will feature special guests In This Moment and Ginger, and the second leg will feature special guests Cypress Hill and Horror. What a crazy bill. Slipknot, Cypress Hill, Horror. I have to get my own tickets for this one. The full routing, tickets, and VIP packages available at knotfest.com/roadshow. It's a Knotfest roadshow experience you don't want to miss. And I'm not going to miss it. I bought tickets during the presale because I was like, I need to see the show. I want GA. I'm very excited to go see Slipknot, Cypress Hill, and Horror.
You're gonna mock and Ginger with the lovely Tatiana.
Ginger is not on the Brooklyn show. Oh, Ginger is on the West Coast leg of the tour. I am not gonna mosh. I am too old to mosh. I will be standing with my arms folded off to the side and sneaking in one hits. That's gonna be me.
I was gonna ask if you get Ginger's Tatiana's number, but you know.
We probably already have it from when she called in last time.
I wasn't being serious. I was trying to make a little joke. I wouldn't actually ask her number. That's rude.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler says, Knotfest is when Rob's balls are tied in a knot.
Oh, boy.
I don't like that.
To happen?
I don't know how that happens. They're not tieable. They're not knottable. I guess if I stretch them hard, if I stretch them long enough, I could then do the loop. Okay, that makes sense.
then it wouldn't hurt. They wouldn't be pulled taut, you know. They'd just be a little sailor's knot. David Draymond.
Back to this. So Sebastian Bach chimed in too.
Oh.
And he says, misinformation about the vaccines is everybody's problem. Oh, okay, so to be clear, he was responding to an opinion from Jamie Josta from Hatebreed, who chimed in retweeting the story and saying, Spotify doesn't care, Neil. Rogan is not your problem. Start your own streaming service where you pay bands more than what Spotify pays, and then they'll care. What's so funny is Neil Young did start a streaming service and it failed.
What?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Like, remember when the iPod came out? He was a total holdout, and he said he hated the quality of the music. And he created his own music. Like, I don't know if he created it, but he, like, you know, lends his name to another startup that was creating this music player that was like a triangle.
He didn't try to create a service.
No, there was a streaming service attached to it.
Oh.
Because where you get the music to put? Let me look it up. Hold on.
This isn't Zune, right?
Absidine? No. That's how.
Tidal.
It was that, like, no one even remembers this, but here we go.
I heard he tried to make a credit card too called Magnesis. I don't know, is that true? Magnesis, I think it was. That's it.
I found it. Here we go. Let me get it on the screen here. Give me a moment. Here we go. You see it? Yeah, you did.
Oh, no.
It's a prism-shaped oddity, Pono Music. It's a self-described movement conceived and founded by Young, which aims to deliver original studio-quality content to discerning music fans. The online music, which will be found at PonoMusic.com, will offer high-fidelity music from the major labels as well as the more high-profile independent labels. The selection will be curated and archived for discriminating customers.
I do not remember this at all. Did it ever get to the point where, like, you could buy the player?
Yeah. Definitely.
What was the retail?
Look at this. This is gone. Let's hold on. Let me stop sharing and see if I can find some more info. But, yeah, it's crazy. Steve. Ono Music. Okay, here we go. The Wikipedia. So Pono is the Hawaiian word for proper. So it was developed by Neil Young. And it raised funding through Kickstarter, which is so funny. Production and shipments to backers started in October 2014, and shipments to the general public began first quarter of 2015. Young expressed concern about digital audio quality, criticizing in particular the quality offered by Apple's iTunes Store. My goal is to try and rescue the art form I've been practicing for 50 years. He founded it in 2012 with John Hamm, different John Hamm.
Okay.
The one you're familiar with. They got backing from Warner, and let's see, and then also then she got deals with Sony and Universal, and Pono Music is based on the FLAC audio format, and so
for that to take off.
It's still, yeah, right? And by the way, for those of you that aren't super nerdy about it, the reason that FLAC never took off is because the file sizes were like 20 times that of an MP3. So who has the space? The player device called the Pono Player was initially priced at $399 and came with a maximum of 128 gigabytes of memory, 64 built-in plus a 64 gig micro SD card. Press release noted that it was developed, it could store 100 to 500 high-resolution digital music albums, which is like, if you think about it, like Apple's advertising thousands of songs in your pocket, and this one's advertising hundreds of albums.
But
it's
way better, I guess, is the trade. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you get like to get like multiple players to store all the music you want, and they like form like, Ultron thing at home if you want? Like that, if they had thought that through, like get a dozen of them and fill them up with all the albums in your collection, and then it's into like a Jenga tower or some shit.
If it stores 500 albums, you just don't have to buy two of them to have every Neil Young album.
So,
oh Neil.
So let me ask.
So
you
many
guys,
ideas, so this, that guy. So many ideas.
This launched in early 2015 to the public. First quarter 2015 to the public. When did they shut down? How long until they shut down?
2016.
Less than a year, I'm going to say.
Okay. On July 17th, 2016, Pono Music announced that it would temporarily shut down. It will temporarily shut down due to the acquisition of their bankrupt content partner, Omniphone, by Apple.
I told you it was Magnesis. See, it's the same thing.
They further stated during the shutdown period, Pono Music would be transitioning to a new platform provided by 7 Digital. The website, however, has been in a non-operating under construction state since then. In April 2017, Young announced that Pono Music Store is being discontinued, but with future plans to transition the service from a download model to a high-resolution streaming service to be known as Xstream. As of October 2019, however, the service
like
is...
Yeah,
the
porno
at the launch.
What is it called? Porno? Porno? What's the name?
Pono.
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 Pono. It's like a southern hillbilly way of saying porno. Porno extreme. Maybe that's why they lost the evangelical right on this. That's why they didn't have an audience.
How old is Neil Young by now?
About 70-something. 77. 75? I'm going to guess 75.
He's 76. Damn, you're on a roll.
72. I heard, he actually is revealing a credit card company called Cumshot. Is that true? Is that, I think that'll do well.
Take a shot on us. Totally wholesome.
I don't think that's true. And here, like in the reception part of the wiki, it really explains why this would never work. He said at the launch at the Consumer Electronics Show, it's like the NAMM of electronics.
Call it CES.
that's what the kids say. Yeah, the kids say CES. He said that during a presentation, 15 volunteers aged 17 to 55 were played music on the Pono Music Player with the FLAC format. and also play those same songs on iTunes, played on an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And in the blind test, he found that participants did not prefer Pono.
Can't imagine why.
You can't even. So that's the thing. And what I personally, with my own ears, have noticed, you can barely notice the difference between a official, you know, compressed version and a high quality audio version. It's unless you're the nerdiest of audiophiles,
the one who wrote and recorded the song.
Right, exactly. Like, you won't notice the extremely, extremely subtle differences.
No.
And especially in a Neil Young song, you know, like, come on.
Well, here's the big problem, and this is too late for me to give this advice, but Neil should have consulted me. Here's why you go to a CES, and there's a line full of people. You name your thing Porno. So they're all waiting to see, like, fucking stepdad fucking their stepdaughters, and then you just play them a fucking Neil Young song, and that's why they don't like it. So get the fuck out of here. Where's the fucking ass fucking? What's going on here?
Ironically, though, Neil Young songs are the soundtrack of stepdads fucking their stepdaughters.
True.
So.
Poor girl has to put up with this horrible background music. She's getting slammed.
She's a cinema girl.
They paid her a lot for that scene. Imagine some guy's just drilling you, and you're like, "I'm so desert on a horse right now." And you're like, "Oh my god,
that's not Neil Young."
No, it's not. Who is that?
Is that like Brett?
He has like a very high pitch, like, and he's always out of tune.
Am I that much out of touch with Neil Young music? Goodness gracious, I'm so not.
America. By the band America.
And he didn't cover that or anything?
I
hear
so.
His Neil Young voice in my head.
Definitely same era and style.
Was he in Bread America,
no.
I mean?
No.
No, oh, okay.
He was in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Oh, really?
Which one was he?
He was Stills.
He was young, but he ain't anymore.
Sid, are you a Neil Young fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not of anything he's done in like the last 30 years, but he was like sort of like a punk rock dude, but not mm-hmm. in a punk band.
He's like mm-hmm. Willie Nelson, but rock. He's like
yeah.
Crotchety.
I can see that.
I think he's a perfectly fine, like good person. I've never been a fan of that. Oh, I did read, I don't know if this is true or not. When this whole thing blew up with him and Spotify, like someone, and again, like Rob said earlier, this was on Twitter, so I don't know how true this is, but he said a bunch of racist stuff in the 80s.
Young did?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
I can't
if that's
imagine
true.
That.
I didn't really verify that. Other than that, like finding that out, I mean, or hearing that, I don't know, shouldn't say finding it out because it's not verified, but I think he's a perfectly good guy. I've never been a huge fan of his music. I just don't like his voice. It's like feels like Dave Mustaine. Like you got to listen to hours and hours of it before you appreciate it.
I can see that.
And I just don't. I have listened to hours and hours of it. Like, I listened to so much classic rock in the 80s and 90s because of Howard Stern. Like, I would just listen to Howard Stern all day, and then the radio would just stay on, and they would just play classic rock. So I feel like I've heard so much Neil Young. And I'm just never – I don't hate him, you know. It's not like it's bad. I could hear why he's a good musician, but just that voice just annoys the shit out of me. Sorry. Sorry, Neil.
No, totally fair.
No quarrel with you.
So now, as we're talking about the music service, so Jamie Johnson said, you know, make your own service. And then Sebastian Bach responds to that tweet. Misinformation about the vaccine is everybody's problem. Neil mm-hmm. Young is doing this because he wants rock and roll to exist and his fans to live.
Mm.
The other guy is a complete jackass who doesn't give a shit about anybody or anything except himself. I don't think that's true, but go ahead.
I think Rogan thinks he's helping. He just is.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he thinks he is.
I think he has good intentions. He's like, this information has to get out there because it's not being covered in the public space.
Yeah.
But also, I think he, go ahead, sorry, Sid.
No, you go.
No, you were first. All right.
It's just like Neil Young wants his fans to live. Like, how much longer do they have? How much longer do any of them have? And Joni Mitchell.
Not like, long if he provides them with porno. The porno streaming music site. Probably will have heart attacks.
Fine. They'll social and, distance better.
I just think that it's a little over the top to say that Joe Rogan is like, I feel like his entire show is in his mind countering misinformation or like revealing like lesser known information
yeah.
or
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
not when he has James Hetfield on, but I mean like when
yeah.
he does this type
oh,
of
yeah,
segment,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like
lesser known information like Bobby Lee, working stand up comedian.
Who knew? He had a Jim Brewer on. I actually did listen to Jim Brewer because Jim Brewer went off on vaccine mandate. It was hilarious.
Friend of the live cast.
He's fascinating to me because I think he's like the Joe Piscopo of the 21st century. Like,
oh
he
my
was
God.
Good on, he was, I'll stand by this. He was good on SNL. He was
yeah,
a funny
I
guy.
On SNL.
I think he was a funny stand up. I'm not going to like retroactively suddenly like Louis C.K. I'm not going to retroactively say I didn't like him, but he is so unfunny now. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened to him.
He found his niche.
No, what it was that his dad is very sick and he was this caretaker. And I think COVID broke him because of all the, like, I don't think he was able to see his dad in the home or something like that. And that's kind of what like set him off on this.
That's fair, but does that mean you have to be not funny though? Like I think he's lost. Like he's sorry.
That audience, I think it's just a much lower bar for what's funny. So it's very easy to go on stage and do those rants that aren't actually funny, and they'll laugh at. It's just easy work for him now.
Yeah, well, Rob and I talk about this sometimes that I can separate what your heinous politics are from. You whether you're funny or not. Like I can also appreciate a joke that makes me question what I believe in. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
I can
for sure.
appreciate being challenged. I can enjoy a joke that I feel is counter to what I, you know, my sensibilities too.
Yeah.
So it's not that. I just think he's stopped being funny. Like his jokes are not good anymore. That's how I feel about Louis C.K. too. And it's not because he started jerking off in front of women. Like I don't want to give him money because of that.
Yeah.
But I would appreciate the jokes themselves if I watched them for free somewhere and they were funny, but he's lost something.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
So before I continue with this Sebastian Bach rant.
Oh, I'm sorry. We keep going on. This is the tangent show today.
No, it's good. It sets up all these other discussions to have. But before we continue, I want to mention Great American Ghost is on tour now in support of their anticipated Torture World EP. Set to drop on January 20th, which was, you know, a few days ago. It's out now on MNRK Heavy, produced by Will Putney, who also did A Day to Remember, Knock Loose, and the Amity Affliction, who handled the band's critically adored 2019 full-length Power Through Terror with Torture World. The band directs old-school hardcore, wrath at hypocrisy, apathy, and self-loathing, delivered in a dark cloud of relentlessly bludgeoning riffs. Great American Ghost, Torture World EP, is out now.
Great American Ghost is Joe Biden's nickname in the Senate.
It's most senators' nicknames
in
the Senate.
That was Neil Young.
Well, he's Canadian.
Well, he lives in America. Come on now.
It's true.
Does he? I don't know
if
he lives. I think he's like
way in the Midwest, so he's like barely in America.
Profited off our fucking country, Neil.
That's fucking right.
Don't claim your Canadian citizenship, jerk.
How before he ends up being a guest on the Joe Rogan podcast?
Oh, I thought you were going to say
he's booked for next week.
I thought you were going to say RIP a live cast.
There was a doctor who was pro vaccine who Joe Rogan had on.
Yeah, and rebutted.
And rebutted him, and Rogan wouldn't accept the rebuttal, even though like they're like, oh, let's Google that, and the doctor was right.
Well, I have to say something. Not taking really taking sides here, but that I feel like that clip was even like sort of exaggerated how bad Joe Rogan is, because like he didn't go, you're fucking wrong, but like he sort of had a discussion with the guy.
They looked
it up on the air, which I think is, you know, kind of honorable. Like, he didn't just say,
agreed,
fuck you, you're wrong. He didn't talk over him, steamroll him. The guy came back. His lackey comes back with the information. And they're like, this is the information. So, you know, I don't see that as as negative.
Well, when the information proved the doctor wrong, he's like, oh, well, he kind of questioned the source, essentially.
Wait, prove the doctor wrong or prove the doctor
right? I'm sorry, prove the doctor right. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, you could look up the clip and decide for yourself.
Look it up on your porno device.
Yeah.
Sebastian Bach wasn't done yet. He said, imagine calling yourself a rocker, yet siding with some dude who has a podcast over Neil Young. Laughing emoji.
Who has a podcast is a little bit of an exaggeration. He's got one number one or two podcasts in the world.
The number one. He has 100 million monthly listeners.
You could also say, imagine calling yourself a rocker and siding with some dude who has a podcast over now I'm blanking on his fucking name. The guitarist, shitty Kid Rock's friend.
Oh, Telling Me How to Live guy?
No. Not Kid Rock. The other guy. The older one. Ted Nugent. Oh. Jesus fucking Christ. Same thing, right? Like, Ted Nugent and Neil Young are both rockers.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Nugent screams being a rocker more than anybody, so am I supposed to do because he's a rocker?
Yeah. No, come on.
Imagine calling yourself a rocker, yet siding with some dude who has a podcast over Neil Young. You can stick to listening to your podcast, and I'll stick to listening to Neil Young. Owned.
All right.
Sid, you made me just feel uncomfortable now because I realized that I like Ted Nugent's music more than Neil Young's music. Ted Nugent's a piece of shit. I mean,
Ted Nugent's singing voice is better than Neil Young.
It's like, well, yeah, but it's just dumb rock, you know, it's like catchy. But I just think that, like, you it's the same as the Jim Brewer thing. Like, I separate what a piece of shit human being they are from what their producer, like Michael Jackson, you know. Dave Mustaine, not to that extent of the other two.
Yeah.
Kind of has some objectionable, or used to, ideas.
So, Draymond responded to Buck tweeting. He says, I still love and will listen to Neil Young too, brother. The same way I still love and will listen to you,
brother.
Always continue to respect and admire the both of you, brother. The only side I'm on is on the side of freedom. And you're free to have your opinion, of course. And he clarifies, let me be clear. I do not. He sounds like a bot. Let me be clear. I do not support any artist blackmailing any entity to follow an agenda they believe in. He wasn't blackmailing.
He didn't do that.
But okay.
But
he says whether it's Neil Young on one side of the spectrum or Eric Clapton on the other. Mm-hmm. Music shouldn't be used to sow division. It should be used to bring people together, in my humble opinion.
Wasn't that what you're doing now, asshole? Just fucking arguing with Sebastian Bach?
Right?
Like, what are you?
Well, no, he's trying to bring unity. Sebastian Bach is the divisive one here.
Okay. Nothing dates anybody.
In Draymond's point of view.
By the way, that conversation wasn't on Twitter. It was on Neil Young's new social media app, Goatsy. I don't know if you heard about that.
Go up to the app and see what we're all about.
It took the Goatsy app to the CES, and they're like, I don't know. People just prefer Twitter. I don't understand why. Our logo is beautiful. It's just like a someone spreading open a curtain and, like, looking
when
at the sun.
When you send your message, it falls into a little graphic.
And I guess we're kind of burying the lead here because we're so excited because David D. Rayman, is back on Twitter.
Thank goodness. It's been too long.
So glad. That's what he said. He's like, it's been too long, and there's too many things worth discussing not to be on here. And
Didn't he leave because of you originally? Like you and others?
Not me specifically, but yes, just because he was like, I can't handle the discourse anymore. So his, like, Twitter bio is Frontman of Disturbed, older, wiser, no more caps, no bullshit.
What was the caps doing that he had?
Caps lock, remember?
I know. I'm saying, like, what was the issue with the caps that he has to stop them now?
Well, he stopped them shortly before leaving Twitter because so many people gave him shit. Like, I remember he did. I don't remember what it was, but he did a tweet thread about a serious subject, like perhaps a terrorist bombing or something like that. And it was in all caps. And I remember like every like mainstream outlets picked up. It wasn't just us. It was just like, why is David Draymond making this point in all cap? Like, why are you yelling at us, David Draymond? And at the time he said it was an artistic choice.
He's just a dumb guy who doesn't like, he's not hooked into like internet culture and doesn't know like texting. When you text, you're not supposed to use all caps all the time. People tell him, you're like, no, that's just the way I write. Like, no, you're speaking a language that people experience outside of your own head, you know? There are conventions.
Yeah. So naturally, his social media is either dumb memes or pro-Zionistic content. But I do want to read. He kind of gave this mission statement, I guess you can call it. Because, you know, people were like, oh, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Whatever, whatever. He tried to declare his political. He wanted to declare his political stance. So, excuse me, we're all on the same page. And let me get that up here. He goes, I am not a Republican, not a Democrat. I am a humanist.
You can't be a humanist if you're one of those other two things.
I wish we had like the wah, so we could do it after every sentence. I believe in human freedom, autonomy, and progress. I embrace in science and reason rather than revelation, though I try not to judge others based on their own personal beliefs. It's very weird that he's kind of saying this almost atheistic kind of language when he's such a proud Jew. I guess there are some who equate Judaism with race rather than religion. So maybe that's how he explains it in his head. He goes, I advocate for human rights and free speech. Wah! I personally object to excessive religious entanglement, and I particularly object to the state and the power it wields by sowing fear and division. I'm confused. Is he talking about America or is he talking about Israel?
I mean, he's okay with the entanglement when it's like Palestinians getting entangled in barbed wire that the Israelis put down.
I believe in unity. I'm pro-peace and coexistence and anti-war and conflict. Mm-hmm. He is that coexist meme.
I am anti-war and conflict, except when it's bulldozing people's houses over a 5,700-year-old book.
I love that these two sentences are right next to each other. Let me read the last one again. I am pro-peace and coexistence and anti-war and conflict. I believe in free market capitalism.
Yeah, that never did any war and conflict.
Yeah, no war and conflict with free market. I believe in free market capitalism and the ability of each individual to achieve their own dreams without the hindrance of or reliance on the state. I believe that we all have the power to make a better future for ourselves and our world. Oh, wow. I believe in justice and true equality. I believe in myself. I believe in you. And I believe in the love that can be shared between any two creatures that inhabit this planet of ours. And I believe with all my heart in the healing, redeeming, and therapeutic power of music and the connection it creates between all people. So let it be written. So let it be done.
I believe in the invisible hand of the free market that allows me to fire bazookas into your house and then put a giant dome over my house so that those people that I just bazookaed can't bazooka back to my house.
This sounds like the mission statement of who? I think we need to bring that character back to read.
Of who?
Get Ozzy on the horn.
Who?
I didn't hear Dan Ozzy.
Oh, Dan Ozzy. I didn't hear he broke up a little. Yeah, sure. He's always welcome. Did he just post mouse? What was that about?
Well, there because some school district in Tennessee, that book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a whole backlash now.
There's bad words in it, so they're taking it out of the library.
Oh, is it about the bad words and not the just like protecting Nazis?
Well, the
premise was that they were banning the words. Okay.
Or there's violence in it, or kids shouldn't be looking at that. Blah blah blah.
That's a great book for kids, I think. I mean, if they
well, that's yeah.
It's a great educational book for you. Uh-huh. I mean, they have to be ready for the subject matter, and that's your parents' determination for that. But that's a great book for kids to read if they can handle it.
Yeah.
And that's not a joke. I read that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I wasn't a kid. I don't know when that came out, but in my youth, I would say. Love Mouse. Might have been a teenager when that came out. Have you all read Mouse?
I have not.
I haven't.
I know what it's about. I know the deal, but I have not actually read it.
I just say for the audience, it's like it's a portrayal of it's the author telling his life story, and his father was in the Holocaust, and his father tells him his life story going through the Holocaust. But it's a cartoon and it's a comic strip, I guess, and it's portrayed as the Jews are mice and the Nazis are cats. And all the other different types of people in Nazi Germany are depicted as different animals. But it works. It sounds a little hokey, but it's like very, very moving. Funny at times also. It's not just a big depression bomb. I feel like that's one of the great things I like about Schindler's List, too. I think I've mentioned this on the show before, is that there's like typical Spielberg humor in it, which is, you know, it's like sort of makes it, you know, like bearable all the horrible shit that you have to see.
I will say that the use of the sad trombone sound effect anytime a Jew was killed was a little excessive.
Yeah. But you got
so many times.
You got to admit though that when like Oscar Schindler is flying over the on his bicycle with E.T. in the basket over the moon, that was really touching.
It was Elie Wiesel in the basket.
Yeah, he had like five Jews hidden in the basket with E.T. We're going to sneak you out. Come on. They just hide. They hide 8 million Jews inside of a refrigerator and wait for the World War II to be over.
You know, I've still never seen Schindler's List.
Oh, really? I don't
blame watch you. Long.
It can
what
be.
What do you think?
I'll do it. It's just too long.
I don't
we have
to
make
watch
it two episodes.
It's very long.
I'll watch
I've
it very
been,
long.
Like, it's been on my queue, and I'm always like, I don't think I'm in the mood to be this depressed. But I really do want to watch it.
Unmistakably Steven Spielberg movie. Like, it's infused with all the other things you know from other Steven Spielberg movies, but the subject matter is just very different.
Yeah, it is really brutal. I mean, like, Holocaust Remembrance Day, I believe, was yesterday or 2 days
oh,
ago.
Oh, really? And, wow, what a Jew I am. I didn't even remember it.
And
I didn't think about the Holocaust once yesterday.
I only thought about it when the ESPN NBA Today show, which I thought was weird. Oh, no, it wasn't ESPN. It was TNT inside the NBA.
You sure it wasn't High Heat?
Charles Barkley?
High Heat.
It was on the
Russo?
27th. It was on Thursday, January 27th.
The Holocaust was terrible, Kenny. Terrible. Terrible.
Basically,
I want Stephen A. Smith's tribute on
you cannot. You cannot murder 8 million Jews. I am sorry. You cannot. That is just unconscionable.
It was tasteless when they did their top five genocides ranks. I understand that's the format of the show, but come on.
But yeah, no, just brutal. Like I just read brutal accounts all day from like you know, people posting their family members' accounts of being freed or soldiers when they just opened the doors to Auschwitz. It's just the most horrific.
And you read day?
What's that?
You read that all day?
Not all day. I just kept seeing stuff popping up in my Twitter feed. Yeah.
Okay.
Passively.
I didn't see any.
Can we do a PTI style argument about what was Hitler's biggest tactical mistake, losing the war?
Fucking with Russia, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was his thing.
Was he signed to a good contract? They overpay. trade value?
They're not getting dividends from that contract, Sid. I'm sorry. When you have a Hitler, okay, you have a Nazi army that is so entrenched in Western Europe, and then you try to expand to Eastern Europe, it's just not good tactics, Sid.
It
I'm
don't
sorry.
Fucking match. You can't take the Hitler army and put it with arroz candulo.
That wasn't bad.
It don't fucking match.
I'll give you that.
The shit don't fucking match.
Don't exterminate him then.
Okay, we're going too far.
If you implement a Staat Polizei, you gotta make white rice.
Okay.
If you invade Hungary, you gotta invade Poland. This is war. This is imperialism 101. It don't fucking match.
It don't fucking match.
You arrest the Jews, you gotta arrest the gypsies.
You lucky you still breathe the fuck out of here.
We need to do a sketch of like a Hitler as a New Yorkian man who's agitated that he didn't get dinner on time. Or the correct dinner.
You gotta feature some of these movie getting robbed. We've gotten some gold.
What's that?
Got some great comments you should highlight.
Go ahead, highlight them, and I'll put them on the screen.
I don't know how to highlight them.
Say them out loud.
The Columbia Beard saying urban combat and Russian winter don't fucking match.
I still love, that's a long time listener, but I love that. I love that name, Colombian Neckbeard.
Yeah. Dynamo Dylan, you missed the Lebby Kletzmobile dumpster vigil. Did E.T. ride him to heaven too? It's another old meme.
Levy Kletsky, for newer listeners, was a little Jewish boy in Brooklyn who was murdered by he was gruesomely murdered by another adult Orthodox Jew who just abducted him somewhere from a school bus or something and just chopped him up.
No, he was like walking home from school and the guy snatched him right off the street.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he stepped off a school bus and the kid snatched him. I could be remembering. We do have a song about it.
Speaking of young Orthodox Jewish boys in Brooklyn, though, our very own Shlomo jumped into the Discord this week.
That's right. That's why he got on our Discord.
He's like 30.
You never know who shows up on our Discord. You can get the link on the podcast description and come hang out with us. It'll be nice. It's nice. We like.
No.
We have a caller.
Ooh.
Let's see if we can get
him through.
Get this going. Hello, caller. Are you there? 413.
I have a big cock.
Oh. Would you like to elaborate on that? Oh, did you hang up?
That was it. Okay.
Oh, he hung up. I wanted to add a few follow-ups there.
Yeah, so did I.
Pick
or I don't believe you.
Ed Eldedrino says, I hope Max from Ukraine and his family are safe. I believe Max lives in California, so he's
all
right.
And was he from the Ukraine?
I don't think so.
I don't remember if he was
from Eastern Russia, like Eastern Asian Russia, I thought. That's why he hates Mongolians, right next door.
Yeah, that might be right. I don't remember if he was from...
Maybe I'm wrong. It's been a while.
It's been a while since he's posted anything. I wore Max.
But he could have family in Ukraine still.
He might be on the front to move back, and that's why his social media is dead.
Mm.
He's arming up. I don't know
what
side he's
on. The new Neil Young Goatsy app. That's when he comes back.
I'll ping him on Goatsy.
speaking of all this patriotism, Kid Rock released a new song.
Dear.
And of course, I don't want to play it. I don't want us to get a copyright strike. So if you want to pause the podcast for a moment and load the song, it's called "We the People."
Not recommended.
And it's the most contradictory song I think I've ever heard. So let me read these lyrics for you guys. We the people, in all we do, reserve the right to scream "fuck you." Sorry, go ahead, Darren.
I was going to say this already. I could have told this was a Kid Rock song without your intro.
Hey, yeah, huh. Wear your mask. Take your pills. Now a whole generation's mentally ill. Man, fuck Fauci.
Fauci did that? If there wasn't a whole generation that was mentally ill, Kid Rock's album sales would be way lower.
Also, aren't the generation taking the pills because they're mentally ill, or is he saying the pills are making them ill? Aren't the pills supposed to help them with their mental illness? Okay.
Is he saying but that there's like a conspiracy to make people mentally ill? Or
I think so.
Like the pills make them ill? First of all, it's not pills. It's an injection. I mean, is there a pill form?
Well, he's not talking. He's not talking about the vaccine. He's
but
saying
it might just mean
pills.
Like Ritalin. Never.
No.
Adderall, yeah.
Oh, well, I agree with opposing that. So maybe he's got a point, this kid.
Oh, no.
But COVID's near. It's coming to town. We got to act quick. Shut our borders down. Joe Biden does. The media embraces. Big Don does it. And call him a racist. I mean, that's a fair critique.
That is. But, I mean, I think his point is we should shut the borders down and be racist. And they're both right.
Well, yeah, see, that's what I don't understand. So, like, COVID, so he acknowledges the threat of COVID, but just thinks that the action to take is not necessarily to wear masks, but to just shut our borders?
Right. No, well, that's what Trump said, basically.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
And here's the money shot, the chorus. We, the people, let's go, Brandon.
By the way, the money shot is Neil Young's new coffee shop.
His Nespresso competitor.
Yeah.
It's
Nespresso. Yeah.
You don't want to patronize Keurig. You can go to the Money Shot. Neil Young's Money Shot.
I can't believe his chorus is "Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, we the people. Let's go, Brandon." Like that's so corny.
Can you? Not only is it corny on its face, but also how can you possibly date your song any more than that? Than to use something that's going to be a meme for like maybe 6 months at the outside.
And also, why can't you just say "fuck Joe Biden"? You know,
he says
like,
"fuck Fauci" 2 seconds earlier.
Yeah,
like
why
is
he
okay.
Discreet about it? Why, like the whole thing about "Let's Go Brandon" is like inside joke. We're really saying "fuck Joe Biden." Just say it. Anyway, fuck Facebook, fuck Twitter too. And the mainstream media, fuck you too, Woo, yeah, you.
Oh.
Now, I want you to keep this one in mind. Fuck Facebook, fuck Twitter, fuck the mainstream media, fuck you too, yeah. Right? Okay, let's keep moving. Inflation's up like the minimum wage. The minimum wage is not up.
Where's the minimum wage up?
Yeah.
Changed since 2009.
Maybe he means on the state level it's up. In certain
states. For like federal employees or something?
Well, it went up for federal employees to $15, but that's like the average federal worker makes like $90,000, so it affected like almost nobody. So they may try to make that a big deal. Like
still enough to get Kid Rock angry, though.
Well,
so
maybe
all the stuff.
Maybe the last time Kid Rock was like relevant was about 2009. So like he just that he's still stuck there where the minimum wage just went up to $7.25.
He's like, wait, I got a cleaning lady. What? When did that happen? What the fuck?
You're all the same. Ain't a damn thing changed. Hey, yeah. And then, you piece of shit, I don't see color, Black Lives Matter, no shit, motherfucker.
No shit, motherfucker. They're just being,
like,
you know, mowed down by hyper-militarized cops, you know, no big deal, but their lives matter.
Which, by the way, if you think I don't see color is you're essentially, while trying to be inclusive, you're invalidating the black struggle. You're saying, right. No, we're all the same. It's like, no, I think black people feel we're not all the same, and that's the problem.
And also, go ahead, please. We both had an also. I think you should.
Like, of course Black Lives Matter to him. Without them, whose music is he going to co-opt? Like, he really needs Black Lives.
He needs black music to suck all the coolness out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But also he's like a music vampire. But if like you're not supposed to not see color, like that's something
Nazi color.
Yes. Nazi color. You're supposed to like acknowledge and like celebrate what people's traits are and their differences and that's their culture. Like, am I supposed to pretend that, you know, that they don't have a history and all that stuff? Like you're supposed to. To like, that's supposed to be something we all support, and that's what this, like the stupid shit that they say about America is that like, where America's so great because they have all these different cultures, but then these dipshits come and they go like, I don't see color. Everybody's white to me. You're all white. I accept you all as white.
So here we go. But we got to keep fighting for the right to be free, and every human being doesn't have to agree. We all bleed red, brother. Listen to me. It's time for love and unity. And then what's
the
next
you.
Line? We the people, let's go, Brent. What?
That's fine. If you want to say, if you want to say fuck Joe Biden, go ahead, but then don't tell me about unity. Like we have.
Yeah,
to have
two verses ago, you're saying fuck Facebook, fuck Twitter too, and the mainstream media. Fuck you too. You're telling me to fuck off, and now you're saying we need unity.
Was that supposed to say fuck YouTube? Because he's like Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, maybe. No, I think it's fuck you too. I listened to it.
That's just the version they sent you. It's specific to fuck Pasabini.
Fuck CNN, fuck TMZ, and you social media trolls. Why all can suck on D's. D's nuts!
Oh, thank you.
What's up?
Thank you for explaining, I'm sure.
And this is again, one verse after calling for nudity, he's telling
for nudity.
Haters,
I heard that too.
For unity. I'm sorry, one verse after calling for unity, he says, all of you, all of his haters who I want to unite with can suck these nuts.
Suck on D's.
I can't believe
he's
like
nuts. 29
my
years.
Balls with him now.
29 years since The Chronic came out, and he's now just doing a D's nuts joke. 29 years.
If you're down with love and want to make things better, all we got to do is just come together.
Ripping off weather John Lennon
now. Weather the storm and take my hand, then follow my lead to the promised land. Because we the people, we got to unite to follow that good time guiding light.
Ripping off CBS what? Soap operas now.
Oh, climb, no. Aboard, climb aboard this love boat. And rock that bitch up and down the coast.
Promoting a Kid Rock cruise?
In order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this constitution.
70,000 tons of heroin.
United States of America. Standing up and standing tall, because it's all for one and it's one for all these nuts. No, that part I added.
Who's standing tall? He's like 5'4". Come on. You break.
El Guterino says unity over shutting the borders down.
Yeah.
And Dylan points out, Dynamo Dylan points out, he's colorblind. That's sure. Why he doesn't see color.
So I think he's color deaf somehow. Like it's, that's why his music sucks so bad. Maybe just deaf. Is he deaf? He might be deaf.
It would explain a lot. At least hearing impaired in one ear.
He doesn't have anyone. He has yes men. And no one tells him that his music sucks. They all, he says, is this good? I can't hear it. You know. They're like, yeah, sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, bro.
Hey, wait. Can you tell? Is my music good? Okay, good. Let's release it. Let's release it on the porno app, on FLAC in FLAC file format.
Well, speaking of the music app, I do want to mention our Spotify playlist. It's the RIP Alive Cast Music Break. All you got to do is just search for that RIP Alive Cast. In addition to getting our podcast on Spotify, sorry, Neil Young. You could also get a little music break where every day we add a few tracks.
Not
pretty
sorry.
Fun. And sorry, I just needed a little drink of water there.
You got to make that bag. I'm not sorry to Neil Young. Fuck him. No offense. Sorry, not sorry.
I want to say fuck Neil Young and also. Yeah, also. Yeah, fuck Neil Young and let's have some unity. Yeah.
Exactly. See, you're my kind of American, Rob.
So I'll kick it off. So my pick this week was Crazy Train, a tribute to Randy Rhoads. It's a new album, I guess. Or no, it's a single.
You know what you picked?
I don't even know. I know the song that I picked. I just didn't know where it was from. But so it's a flamenco not flamingo, flamenco cover of Crazy Train with my favoritely named artist in all of music, Steve Stevens, Billy Idol's guitarist. Yeah. And it's a really, really fun cover of Crazy Train in a way that you've never heard it before, you know, as a flamenco. So I think that's a fun
and
little tracky track.
I don't know what episode it's on, but we covered Steve Stevens.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite segments of the past year or so. It's very funny.
I believe it was, it had to have been a year ago, because it was the way it got on my radar was Miley Cyrus had a Super Bowl performance. She brought out Billy Idol and Steve Stevens. So it was in February of, 2021. That's crazy.
Yeah, if you can find that. It's worth a listen. Very funny.
Uh-oh, breaking news. Deuterino points out that Frankie Palmieri is taking all of his music off Spotify until our playlist is banned.
Wow, sounds like a win-win to me. Neil Young's trying again. He's got the Lemon Party app now. So Frankie Palmieri will be the first artist signed to Lemon Party.
Yeah, it's just together with people in your neighborhood and you compost together.
Darren, what did you pick?
My song is True Foo Schnick by Foo Schnickens, the 90s, early 90s hip-hop group, who also had a collab with Shaquille O'Neal.
That's
which
right.
Is why I started thinking about that. He actually
is
rapped.
He in this song?
No. This is their like breakout first single, I think. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal one day said somewhere into a microphone that he liked Foo Schnickens, so they called him up. They said, hey, you want to do a verse on our song? And he was like, yeah, sure. So he did it. He's on there. He's on I think it's their next album, probably. But this is just a banger. I love this era of hip-hop. And I was just floating around listening to different stuff. I was like, I gotta put this on the playlist.
Do you think Foo Schnickens ever toured with Funk Dubious?
Funk Dubious?
Do you remember that group?
I remember only the name. I couldn't tell you anything about them. Yeah, I remember, though.
You don't get rap group-sounding names like that anymore. Everybody's, like, too serious and wants to seem cool. You don't get, like, goofy names anymore. It's sad.
Well, they just use their real fucking name now. What the fuck is that? Kendrick Lamar. What is that shit?
Coward.
Come on. Yeah, coward.
Come up with an
name.
Alias, you fucking coward. What's wrong with you?
Travis Scott. What is that? Sound like a fucking accountant. Fuck out of
here. Anderson Paak.
Is that his
real
name?
He puts
name,
a dot before his last name.
Is that
I
his real
so.
Full name? Though?
I think so.
Paak is his last name?
I believe so. He's like part Vietnamese or something.
Oh, okay.
I got to look it up.
I thought that was like some kind of shortening of his name or something, but maybe I'm
Brandon Paak Anderson is his actual
name. So it's kind of an alias.
Yeah. Also known as Breezy Lovejoy or Cheeky Andy.
Breezy Lovejoy? Now you're naming yourself after Simpsons character.
Weird name.
Deuterino asked, is Steve Stevens on the new Meshuggah album, Rob? I don't think he made it on there. But I've heard the new Meshuggah album, and it's very, very good.
That one went over my head. What was the joke there? That he'd be on the Meshuggah album. Is he Jewish?
Is it Meshuggah? Yeah, I guess. Maybe. Deuterino, call in, Deuterino. Explain your question and tell us if you're a dick.
But by the way, good for you, Deuterino, for using an alias, not being a coward.
Right.
Sid, what's your pick?
I picked the song Savory by the old hardcore post-punk band Jawbox because earlier this I purchased my first concert tickets post-pandemic, and it was to see in the summer.
Where's Jawbox playing this summer?
They are playing at LPR in the city.
Say that again?
LPR.
Oh, La Poisson
Rouge.
Rouge.
Yeah.
Great venue. I really like them. Wonderful. So that's our Spotify playlist. And I didn't even mention our Patreon, which, you're like, wow, this is so entertaining and so fun. I want to support these guys and maybe get a little extra content. Well, you can. You can do that now at this moment on our Patreon, patreon.com/RIPAlivecast for $5 a month. Get our eternal gratitude and two bonus episodes a month as well as a weekly TV column by our lovely Sydney over here. And I want to mention that we have a great episodes this month. We posted a watch-along of The Fanatic, which is starring John Travolta, directed by Fred Durst. It is a unbelievably bad movie. I mean, believably bad, actually. But we had a really, really fun time watching it and roasting it and, like, just destroying it.
One of the most unbelievable performances, like, in the literal sense of the word. Like, you won't believe what you're watching.
Yeah,
that I've
exactly,
ever
yeah.
seen in a movie. Like, any movie. I can't. It's a. You know how you know, like, you watch a movie and you can't believe what you're seeing. Have you ever had that happen, good or bad?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's an example of it. Like, I not that it's whether it's great or whether it's horrible. You just can't believe this was put on film. That's John Travolta in this movie.
Yes.
And yeah, so that's great. And then the top of the month, we did a roundtable on The Matrix, which you can actually listen to for free. You go to our Patreon, or if you can scroll down in your podcast app. It's a few episodes down. We talk
it's
about
only on the Neil Young cap.
Yes, it's only on Goatsy.
On penis. His Patreon is called Peentreon. By the way, Rob, not to nitpick, but you said you can listen to it. I want to make sure people know that they can watch that video of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Both episodes are viewable. Yes. They're video and for the Matrix Roundtable, there is an audio version as well. And obviously the watch along, you watch along with us. And so those are really, really fun episodes. What did we do last month? There's tons of stuff in the archives here.
Why don't we talk about what we got coming out on Tuesday?
Well, I'm going to mention that as well, but I want to. Okay. Last month we did a watch along of Hellaware. The movie that we played a bunch of sound bites from, and we did a meme Hall of Fame, which was very fun. We talked about the 9/11 Never Forget song, Your Boy Bangs, and the It Don't Fucking Match video, which we referenced moments ago. And as Sid said, this coming Tuesday, if you're a part of the Patreon, you do get a free episode. You get a new episode, but you get a free episode after donating $5 to our Patreon. That's how it works. But we have an amazing episode that longtime fans of the show will absolutely love. We do a watch along of the new Steve Harvey show, Judge Steve Harvey. They gave Steve Harvey a judge show, and it's as brutal as you think. And we watch about 5 cases, I believe. And we learned so
we
much.
Couldn't get through all of the second. We had to.
Yeah,
we had so much to say. It was longer than like 10 Steve Harvey episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Really fucking intense.
There's a lot to critique. It's a really, really fun episode. It's one of the best ones we've done on the Patreon. So that's coming this Tuesday, patreon.com/RIP-AliveCast. Mm-hmm. We have a quick question from Rob with 2 B's. Have you heard the one-line drawing cover of Savory?
I have heard it. I have seen it live. Wonderful. Yes, I have. One Line Drawing is the solo side project of Jonah from the band Far. And it was lovely. And yeah, he did like a very like emo stripped down cover of Say. It's very nice.
Lovely. And speaking of our Patreon, if you want to support us, just a little more and give us $10 a month, we will grant you the title of top live cast fan, and at the end of the show give you a shout out, which is right now. And I do want to thank all of our patrons. We love you all, and all of our listeners, even if you're not a patron, we love you as well. And you know, hopefully you can hang out for free in our Discord. That's a free little perk. Or follow us on social media. RIP Livecast on all accounts.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Ron.
I'm getting a little emotional. All right, I'm going to do the patrons with a little David Draymond thing at the end.
Oh.
I want to give a shout out to Eric, Benjamin, El Duderino, Dan, Sam, I am.
You sound like burps. Someone.
You sound like you're gagging on a cack.
That's on Neil Young's new Patreon app.
Gagging on a cack. Gagandcack.com.
It's on the porno.
Then we have Mindy Mayer's Kip.
Sing the next few, like, Down with a Sickness.
Gender Rabaganoush, a.k.a. Justin Shasur Shasutsits.
This is like Marilyn Monroe singing to JFK. What is this?
Cattle decap. come on, get down with that cattle decap. Rabba Vampiro. Hugo likes tacos. Oh, no, that didn't work as well as in my head. Then we got, when we have Lando Danks and LaCroix, Corey and Scott G.H.
Gross.
Then we have Doug Pigman, who gave Rob the Hickey, Douglas, who are you? Levinson. Hey, guys, it's Josh.
All right,
and those are our patrons.
By the way,
we love you guys.
Sorry.
And we love your feedback also. If you want to email us, our new email address is ripalivecast@gmail.com. Shout us a holla or send us some holla bread. We'd like that too. And
all right.
I guess
Israeli guy.
I want to point out also that it occurred to me there are some rappers from the 90s that used their real names. Keith Murray was one.
Oh, that's right.
And
Del
Greg
the
Mack.
Funklithian, I guess, sort of.
What's his
name?
Oh.
Del, I think.
Yeah.
His first name.
But Craig Mack, that was his real name.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it sounds like a rapper name.
Eric
Sermon. He died, right?
Who?
Oh, Eric Sermon.
Eric Sermon.
I'm assuming it's his real name. It sounds like a real name. But no, not
Eric
sure.
B.
Well, that's at least that's an abbreviation.
Yeah.
I can't think of any others, but it's like apparently it's happened before.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you for tuning in. We will be back next Saturday, as we will every Saturday. And we hope to see you there. And we love you. There we go.
Hey.
Sid, you were clipping a lot.
Really?
Like the last, yeah, like you said something longer than like 10 seconds or whatever, it feels like it would cut out. Like we wouldn't hear the last word you said.
Huh. The video was okay. The audio was jumpy.
Huh. I wonder why.
You got a loose connection maybe?
No.
Microphone.
Yeah, were you like downloading? Or, I don't know.
No.
I think that would mess up the video though if he was downloading.
Yeah.
Everything. All right.
Yeah. It wasn't like horrible or anything. It was just here and there.
Hopefully it doesn't happen tomorrow. What is it, 1 o'clock tomorrow for the watch along?
That's okay with me.
Fine with me?
Before the football.
Confirm on the calendar. Right.
Okay.
Yep, 1 o'clock.
Okay. What about, are we doing the video still or no? Can we decide anything?
I guess we might as well until we fully discuss it and figure something out or whatever. So what do we got? Kid Rock thing?
I'm sorry, Neil
Young.
To interrupt you, but did you see that the camera sort of rack focused to my cat when he jumped up on the... Is that a thing? Is it automatically just rack focused to motion behind you?
I don't know.
Never noticed that or realized that. It's funny. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
So a Kid Rock thing, a Neil Young thing. Those were like the main two things we discussed, right? Was there any other